Hi, and welcome back to another episode of the Outsource Accelerator podcast. This is episode number 311. Today, we have another replay of the Outsourcing Summit 2020. Today, we are up to session 4. If you haven't gone back and listened to some of the previous sessions of the Outsourcing Summit, you can do so now. The Outsourcing Summit has 6 sessions in total, and today is session 4. It is fully available on video replay if you want to go and see the action, but I've had a listen to this in audio form, and if you prefer podcasts, then this is it's really good, really valuable if you just want to listen to this on the podcast. But it is all available in video replay. You can go to our website, which is outsourceaccelerator.com, to check out the Outsourcing Summit replay there. So session 4 today, we are doing a virtual tour. Sorry, we're doing a real life, real tour of Telework PH. We first interview the founder and CEO, Marge Avizio, and we talk to her about her journey in outsourcing, really quite an incredible journey, and her incredible growth from basically 0 staff to 900 staff in just 2 years. So it's a fantastic story. We take a tour around the facilities, and of course that's not so kind of effective over podcast, but it really is still a very good episode to listen to, and I certainly got a lot out of re-listening to it. So I hope you enjoy, and as always, if you want any of the show notes, go to outsourceaccelerator.com/podcast. Just a note before we get started, some of the sound in this episode is a little bit wonky. It was recorded live. We were walking through the office and the buildings as we did it, so bear with us. But I've had a listen, and it's all pretty good sound quality and really good value content in there, so just bear with us. Hi, and welcome back. We are now in session 4. It is 5 a.m. in the morning, and we are about to see the second BPO tour. As you can see, we're in a shopping mall, which we're going to explain to you in a minute. So first, I want to tell you a little bit about outsourcing. Outsourcing is really about manpower solutions and manpower management. It's really about facilitating employment and employment solutions for the client. And it's about reducing all of the friction of employing globally. As you go into the higher end of outsourcing, then it's more about high-end solutions, and that becomes more about the sort of the solutions and engineering and things like that. Today, we are at Telework PH, and this is a product of the outsourcing industry. We're going to meet Marge, who is the CEO, and she has a great story to share. She was previously an employee of the outsourcing world, and now she is an outsourcing owner. So let's go and see Telework PH and meet Marge.
Welcome to Telework PH. My name is Marge, and I'm the CEO and founder of Telework PH.
Thank you so much, Marge. And yeah, great place. I found it. Let's go through and have a chat. So, Marge, we thank you so much for inviting me. I'm really excited about this tour, and I think it's valuable for people to see a full range of outsourcing options. And you, in particular, specialize in home-based work as well, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Before we go there, can you just tell us a little bit about your personal journey in outsourcing and how you got started?
Sure. So I started as a freelancer in 2015. I was servicing a client in the United States, specifically in New York. And I was doing so well that the client had started to trust me to build a team. Initially, I didn't think about building a business from there, but it seems, you know, the path has led me to it. We started with about 3 team members to 7, 15, and it grew through 30 people.
And just before that, though, so you spent your formative years basically in the BPO industry,
yeah,
is that right?
That's right. So I started work in 2008. From there, I was working as an agent. I started as an agent, became an a QA analyst, and then a supervisor. And then from there, I just realized that it's becoming stressful at work, so I decided to work from home, but ended up with the same type of service. I think one of the strengths that I have and I realized that, is being able to really communicate with a lot of people and resonate with them, empathize with them. And so that's when I started to work with a client in the US and then build a team from there.
Great. So you had a career in the BPO industry. The BPO industry in the Philippines obviously employs a huge amount of people, and some of the best people out there are now building careers in the BPO industry. So you decided that the bigger employer wasn't for you, and you wanted to go freelancing. And was it on one of these freelance platforms that you originally started?
No, so I was directly working with them. So I found them through a friend, or my brother, rather. And then from there, we started with one, and then three, and then 30. And then by the time that we were 30, we were experiencing a lot of issues with working from home. You know, rooster noises, background, you know, dogs barking in the background, you know, children crying in the background. And then my client just said, you know, we got to do something about this. And that's when I knew that I needed to put up a physical facility,
right,
to put everyone in there. So that's where the journey started. This was bootstrapped, 100%.
And you got to 30 staff just with the one client, yeah?
Correct. So initially, I was just wondering if we can just do this for the long time. But I realized that once you started a business, you got to be committed to it. And that's where I learned to do some marketing and all that. I grew up not knowing literally a thing about running a business. I had to learn the ins and outs myself. And I think reading a lot of books had helped me, but essentially I needed a mentor, and I got a mentor for myself. So that's where I sustained all this growth, and as well as, you know, people behind me.
That's incredible. So when was that you started and built your team to about 30?
Yeah, that's 2015 until 2018.
Right.
Now we are 30. And then from 2018, that's where I was given a choice, you know, should I go with a physical office, or we just all lose our jobs? Because essentially it's not working for the client anymore. Their customers are complaining of chickens in the background, so that's a bit annoying. But I chose the harder route because I just wanted to have a continuous income from my team. That's essentially the very reason of all. I didn't plan to have a business as this. So yeah.
And so you thought you would formalize it as a proper business. You effectively created what is now Telework PH.
Correct.
In 2018. So now 2 years later.
2 years
where
later.
Where are we?
2 years later. So from 30, we now grew to 800, actually 900 staff.
Wow.
And now we are doing both. It's a kind of hybrid model where we do in-house and we do home-based, but 60% of our staff are actually working from home. And most of these people are, you know, working on a cloud platform, so we don't keep or store the data for ourselves or on their machines, because I know that's a huge risk with people working remotely. So that's how we do. And if there are very sensitive data, or if the client chooses to have people working in the in-house facility, then that's the time we move them here.
And so Marge, you know, let's just not pass over that point so quickly, but you in 2 years went from effectively, you know, you say yourself you don't know anything about business, you're self-taught, and you have built a business where you now employ 900 people.
Yes.
Wow, that's incredible, huh?
I know, right?
In 2 years.
Yes, it's, gosh, I've taken a huge leap.
Yeah, you really have.
Yeah.
Well done. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm doing the maths in my head, and that's some, that's some big numbers.
Yes, yes.
Congratulations.
I used to just think about, you know, what, 5 figures, now we're doing 6 figures more. So I was like, Wow, it's tremendous.
And you and your work and the work here is supporting nearly 1,000 families.
Yes, and I think that's one unique advantage Telework PH has. Having been in an agent position back in the days where I was traveling, you know, two hours to 4 hours back and forth and just missing my family, I realized that if I put it here where everyone is living just, what, a few kilometers away from their house, then it makes it even more engaging and motivating for the people, and that's why they always come back. And retention, it's really good. I think we're about 98% that we are retaining our talent.
Great. And you've done it well in that you've got office space, but then also you cater to remote and homework workers. And you know, obviously a lot of people now are home-based because we're in COVID, but prior to COVID, you had the blended model of, if people need offices, if people need facilities, computers, work desks, you can provide that. Mm-hmm. But you know, you think it works perfectly well to get people working from home. And of course, that's proved out in your results.
Yeah, so we started as a remote team. That's why we have built processes and systems and tools in place to manage our remote workforce. And when we transitioned to an in-house facility, we brought them all in and kind of mixed them with, you know, face-to-face meetings and all that, so that when COVID hit, we were the fastest to make that pivot. In a matter of 24 hours, we've had everyone take, and if you notice, there are no computers here. They've had everyone take their computers into their homes and set it up. And we're back to normal by that time. And from there, we realized that, yeah, it's indeed working for us still.
And it's now an advantage over the other BPOs that for so long concentrated on the facilities and the physical location.
Yeah, it is.
And so tell me a little bit about example clients. You've now got 900 staff. Are your clients estate agents, or what's an example of some of your clients that you have?
We specialize in tech. Most of our clients are in the SaaS space and artificial intelligence. The 20% would be small to medium-sized enterprises hiring virtual assistants. But for the SaaS space, we do sports. We do, like I said, artificial intelligence. We've had a few people in the property, and pretty much, that's our industry.
Right. And then so the size of the business clients you have, it's the full range, I suppose, from solopreneurs up to the bigger enterprise.
Correct, yes.
And in terms of the roles then, you mentioned a lot of technical roles. Is it like technical customer support or developers, or what kind of roles do you specialize in?
Yes, we do. We specialize in technical support or help desk, but we also have developers or web developers. We don't do engineering yet, but it's something we want to explore. But you know, as we are 2 years old, we are trying to navigate it as we go. But right now we want to stay niched, and it makes it even healthier for us, so we don't compete with the bigger guys there.
Sure. It looks like you're already competing with the bigger guys.
Yes.
Good. And so a lot of your clients are US clients, is that right?
Correct, yes.
And so it's quite quiet here now because we're with COVID. We're inside a mall and the mall's shut. But in terms of your business is alive and happening throughout the night to cater for the US clientele?
For sure, yeah. So like everyone is working remotely and it's continuous 24/7. Pre-COVID, we had a 50% revenue loss, but you know, we were able to pivot fast. What we did is we made a couple of tweaks to our service offerings, and we also did a survey on how we can enhance the value that we give to our clients. And now that's on the roll. We are seeing a lot of interest, especially this Q4 with e-commerce being the number one inquiry that we're getting. So we're anticipating a lot on that. It's quiet here, but you know, from home, everyone is working. Yeah. Like we are all in Slack and chatting about it.
Usually now I sort of talk about COVID. Obviously, you know, we've gone through dramatic changes the whole world has over the last 6 to 9 months. Mm-hmm. We're all sitting here wearing crazy masks, but you were able to adapt very quickly, and it sounds like in the 3 to 6 months you've grown rapidly.
Yeah, that's true. With a lot of tweaks in place, and I'm really glad that nobody canceled contracts. It's just a matter of reducing the hours that they are currently using us for. But essentially, we are talking with them, and they are planning to increase that gradually. So we're really looking forward to a really good Q4.
And how does it work in terms of your relationship between the staff, the client, and telework? Is it a situation where the client manages the staff directly, or do you help in terms of the processes, the process design, and management of the team?
So initially, we are going to help with the processes, specifically, with the hiring. We are going to make sure that it's the right fit for the client. Well, we're looking for the candidate that's right fit for the client. And the client would also share the same values that Telework PH has. I always believe that, it's not a matter of just saving on costs, but really, growing the business based on the values that your company has. So we start from there, and then once they are onboarded, they start working together. That's where we use Slack as a tool to communicate directly with the client, and then from there the work starts. We have monitoring tools in place to ensure that the client, the candidate, is spending his time on the tasks by the client and not on some other things.
And if someone wants to explore outsourcing with you, if they inquire with Telework PH, what do you typically recommend? Is it usually that you start with one person, get used to the whole thing, and then expand from there? Or do you generally have a sort of a standard process that you take new clients through?
It actually depends on how experienced the client is. So say if the client is, if it's his first time to outsource, then we definitely plan it out for him. So you'd want to start with like a few, five staff, depending on the business needs. So like we ask them, how many emails are you getting per day? How many calls are you getting per day? So that we can come up with the exact staff that you'll need to cover 24/7 of your service. And then from there, we guide them that, okay, so you can gradually increase your staff. Because we are anticipating revenue growth in these months. But if the client is experienced enough, he can straight away, tell us that, hey, I needed 5 workforce analysts. I needed this and this and that. And it makes things easier for us. But on the other side, they want more control of it, which we definitely give our clients.
I find with people that sort of gingerly start outsourcing, they maybe start with one back-end role, but then they realize this works.
Oh, yeah.
This is a great opportunity, and then they expand from there. Is that what you typically see with your clients?
Yes, it happens a lot. So it's always about testing the waters. So when they realize that, hey, this is working for me, why do I not try to outsource some parts of the business? Then they try to ask, do you do programming or do you do virtual assistant? Then we say, yeah, we pretty much have a pool of talent. We have a database, so we built it out, our CIO built it out. So we have all the candidates in there with pretty much all the skills, and then we source from there.
In terms of the work from home, what are the pros and cons of it? And also you touched on security earlier. I think people are over concerned about security when it comes to the Philippines, and then they're under concerned about security at home in the US.
That's interesting. Yeah.
You know, they don't sort of, whereas there's kind of no security precautions back home, and then they expect every security measure in the Philippines. What do you see is necessary with people working at home, and how do you help mitigate sort of security?
This podcast is brought to you by Outsource Accelerator. We are the world's leading outsourcing marketplace and advisory. We help big and small businesses with their outsourcing needs, and we can help you too. We cover everything from business and staffing strategy, optimal outsourcing structures, implementations, and fully managed services. If you're already outsourcing, about to start, or somewhere in between, then we can ensure that you get the best from outsourcing. That's the best prices, best terms, and of course, the best results from your outsourcing practices. We list over 700 outsourcing suppliers on our website, host this leading outsourcing podcast, and have over 5,000 pages of content. Because we span the entire market, we can ensure that you get the best deal possible. We offer everything from light brokerage, co-managed services, through to fully managed solutions. Get in touch today. Visit us at outsourceaccelerator.com/quote. Mention that you're a podcast listener, and we will give you special attention plus a 10% discount. This is for a limited time only. Go to outsourceaccelerator.com/quote.
So what we do is we, during the hiring phase, we definitely, we start from there. We make sure that the background of the candidate is okay, like they don't have criminal background or issues. And then they pass all our tests, you know, psych or behavioral, cognitive and all that. And then come onboarding, we check their computers. Our IT guys used to do a home visit. So they just want to, if it's a voice account, they definitely would need to check the surroundings. If there's a room specified for them, they want to make sure there are no near noises. Sometimes, the motors and the vehicles can be heard from the outside. So they do those testings. And then we also install a tracking software, which they consent to. It's essentially going to monitor the application. They're going to monitor the activity. They are going to monitor the sites that they have visited. So it adds a layer of protection. And at the same time, we do spot checks. So say, for example, at 3 a.m., I know that they can be dozing off. So we call them on the spot without having to tell you, hey, are you awake? You know, we do that.
Fantastic. So there's all these measures in place that you've refined. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to have a look around the facilities now.
Yeah.
And we are in a mall, in a commercial mall.
Yes.
There seems like about 25 banks in this mall.
Yeah.
And you then have a number of offices throughout the mall, is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
As you've obviously expanded, you've just taken more and more space.
Correct, yeah. We didn't want to invest in one office space and then not being able to fill all these seats. So we want to take it gradually, one step at a time. So
great.
Yeah, let's probably do a tour.
Let's have a look. Let's
okay.
have a look.
All right.
So tell me a little bit about the location. Where are we? We're just outside of Manila.
Yes, we are outside. We're in north of Manila, so about 20 miles. And then that's why we call ourselves rural BPO. It's because it's already considered a rural area. And what I found really effective when it comes to talent is we are so closely knit together. And as a matter of fact, we have agents who realize that we are hiring their cousins or probably their, you know, third degree cousin, and later on realizing they're working in the same company.
Right. So it is only 20 miles outside of Manila. We were in Crowdstaff about an hour ago, and that's about 40 miles out. So we're still very much in an urban space.
Yes.
But you're saying it benefits more from a tighter community, lower salaries as well.
Yep.
But still great qualified people here.
For sure, yeah. So we've had several universities where we can get the talents from, and we've built a knowledge base and a training system where we can reproduce the talent and the skills and the knowledge as well.
And again, you're doing knowledge work, aren't you? This
yeah.
isn't just call center, it's actually knowledge.
It is,
knowledge
yeah. We do content writing as well, yeah.
Okay, great. So where are we going? We're going to have
I'm going to show you to the offices. We have four offices. So that's the first one where we host the tech support team for a SaaS sports software. This office here, we want to be able to kind of give our clients the impression that they're extending an office here. So we put them in one office altogether. So this account here is a language tutoring account. Let's have a look.
Yeah, I'd love to. I'd love
All right.
To. After you, Mara.
Okay.
Hi.
again. So this is our language tutoring area.
And so just for, we have to be a little bit quiet because people are tutoring clients at the moment, aren't they? So it is a quiet zone. And so what are they doing here? It's English training.
Yeah, English tutoring account. So we've had everyone. So the difference here with the other offices that we have is we've kind of made these cubicles more compressed and a little bit higher compared to the other offices because they want everyone to be, or they want to minimize the noises and as well as, you know, COVID precaution in place.
And yeah. I've had a look inside the booths and they personalize their own booths.
Yes.
And they're, you know, they're just having one-on-one sessions, are they, with
That's
their clients?
Correct. Yes. And I believe our operations manager can tell more about this.
Yeah,
account.
Yeah,
yes.
Absolutely. I think we're going to...
Yes.
Hi, baby.
This is our this is our operations manager, PJ, and he's going to tell more about what our English tutors do.
So you are the operations manager for this client alone, and you help make sure that the staff work well and they're doing their job well and delivering well to the client, is that right?
Yeah, that's true. We do have our internal action plans so that we make sure everything is, you know, at par as to what the client is requiring.
Great.
What we have here is, sorry about that.
No, yeah.
It's ESL or English as a second language.
Uh-huh.
And we teach kids and professionals from a country in Asia.
Great. And they have specified the kind of environment that they want, the quiet cubicles.
Yeah, they're very specific with it.
Right. That's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And I assume, you know, there's huge demand for this industry now. The Philippines is a great place for it because Filipinos speak fantastic English generally.
Last I checked, we even have more English speakers in the Philippines than the UK.
Yeah. So something like the largest English-speaking country somewhere. It's huge, isn't it? But the population of English-speaking
is
huge.
Is.
And you were saying as well, I don't know if this is correct, but they're qualified teachers?
Oh, yes, they are. Most of what we have here are board passers, and these are licensed teachers. And, I'm sorry about that.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them, very talented Filipinos, they just bank on their time speaking English.
They have TESOL certification, right?
Yes. Yeah. They have TESOL certification, which is required to be an English teacher online.
Yeah.
Fantastic. So again, it's just one application. There's incredible language skills here. The client is accessing qualified teachers so that the client's clients are getting incredible high-quality tuition, and I assume at an affordable rate for everyone.
Yes.
Great. Thank you so much. Nice
Thank
to meet
you.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So I'm going to show you our second office.
Yeah. Back through the...
So this second one is actually our very, very first office. So you can imagine how small it is. But now we're using it for admin and IT office. And yeah. Let's get in.
Let's have a look. No questions?
Thank you so much. Hey everyone, so it's still a bit...
things are very quiet now, aren't they? And, you know, it's this is not a normal time, but as you said, there's a lot of people working out there, working through the night. And it is, you know, people out there, you've got to use your imagination a little bit. Because this is a business with 900 employees. It really is incredible.
Yes.
This is where it all began.
Correct. This is where it all began. And I can clearly remember we're about 30 people in here, just changing shifts. And even the management side would be working in this small area here. Yeah.
And so 30 people, your first client, was that working 24/7 or
yes,
what was 20, the
24/7, yes.
And then what sort of industry was it?
So it's also SaaS software in the sports industry.
Wow, yes. Fantastic. Great. And I think we're going to have a chat.
Oh, yeah. So let me introduce to you our HR and admin director. She started out with me, and she actually started as my assistant, my executive assistant.
Wow. Right.
She grew with us.
That's great. Congratulations.
Yes.
What's her name?
My name is Dreamy Rose.
Dreamy Rose, yes. That's fantastic, Dreamy Rose. Well done. And so you started with Marge, with Tallywork. You've seen all of this grow mm-hmm. to now 900 staff. And you are your HR, so mm-hmm. what's your role in the business?
So I am the HR and admin director for Tallywork PH. So with the HR department, I'm the one managing the recruitment, onboarding up to the employee engagement. And then for the admin department, I do oversee the facilities, security, and right now with COVID, that will be the safety measures of the whole offices. Mm-hmm. So that's it.
So I imagine recruitment is a huge part of your job, really any BPO, isn't it? Because it's about getting the right staff and, you know, getting the best staff possible. You must have had some huge growth. You must have had some busy months where you're taking on. What were some of the biggest recruitment months you had?
Yes, I think the first few months, first 3 months, it was the busiest thing or busiest months that we had, because since we were startup before, so yeah. We had to put up a lot of company policies, everything from scratch. So it was, aside from hiring different employees, we are also doing the documents for them, mm. and also making sure that we are complying with the government, anything that they need from us. So we also do that.
And do you know what was the biggest number of people you've recruited in 1 month?
Actually, we recruited about 100 for, like, in a week. We had that number of people that we need to complete, and then recently we had around 250 that we also needed to complete. So we did it.
Yeah, we just had to do it.
Yeah, we're also not sure how.
And again, the Philippines, you know, a message for the audience: the Philippines they specialize in human capital, in human resource, and in building teams, in recruiting, and also getting the right people on the bus, don't they? So it's congratulations, well done.
Thank you.
And again, amazing growth, and this is where it all started just 2 years ago.
Brings back a lot of memories.
I'm sure it does, I'm sure it does. And late nights,
yeah.
Probably. Memories of late nights.
Thank you so much. So I'll show you our fourth office right here.
So you've just been expanding in this mall. Are you now the biggest tenant in the mall?
Yes, we are the biggest tenant, and there has been a joke, you know, roaming around saying we might probably just get the entire building to ourselves.
Yeah, you should. You need your name on the front.
Yeah, and all the businesses around this area are very thankful to us because we are their customers. So, like the cafeteria back there had a really high growth of revenue because of us. So yeah, here's our fourth office. Welcome. Welcome. Thank you so much. So this is our most recent office right here. We are catering to to clients in the artificial intelligence space. So they're basically doing data annotation here.
So you're dealing with, explain that for me. So this is, you're doing AI processing here, is that right?
We are doing data labeling. So these data are necessary for the machines to learn, right? So they need humans to be able to identify, like, you know, is this a tree, is this a, you know, a bridge.
And so this is for the self-driving cars in,
yes,
Silicon Valley or
correct.
Somewhere you still need the human to analyze the images and basically annotate the images, saying this is a car, this is a tree, this is a
absolutely.
Person.
Absolutely.
And so that is happening here in this office.
It is, it's happening in this office, and now everyone's working from home.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
And I don't know if we can show that on the wall, but that's basically showing how to annotate these images.
Correct.
So that the cars in Silicon Valley become intelligent, basically.
Correct, yeah.
Fantastic.
Safety is a huge concern. So they definitely need accurate data.
Right. And so I assume this office was full, and now all of these people have been deployed to home, is
correct.
That right?
Yeah, there are about 300 staff for this account alone.
Wow, this account has 300 staff.
Correct.
Well done. And do they work 24/7, or what are those shifts?
Yes,
patterns?
It's also 24/7, okay. Correct.
Well done, well done. And I think we're going to have...
Let me introduce to you our Chief Revenue Officer. His name is June.
Hi.
Yes.
How are you?
Very good, thanks. Good. How are you?
Good, good. We actually shared the stage at a conference previously,
yeah.
Didn't we?
Yeah.
Good to see you again. Good to see you again.
Yeah.
So, June, what do you do at Telework? How long have you worked at Telework? Let's start off.
Well, I've been with Telework since we started as a company set up here. My functions at Telework is actually sort of varied. So I start to get engaged with the process before onboarding a client, making sure that our business development team understands that this is the cost to operate a certain account, so that they know how much, you know, rate to offer to the prospective client.
Right.
After that, when the client is onboarded, I work with our operations director and the operations managers, make sure that everything is done properly, optimize the processes, you know, make sure that the client's service level agreements are all met. And then I work with our workforce manager to, again, make sure everything is optimized. Then after that, I move to the finance department. You know, take a look at our projections versus the actual revenue, actual spend, and everything.
All the modeling for the future. Yeah.
Yep.
Fantastic.
And then set new goals for the teams.
And in terms of setting prices, we don't have to go into it too much, but effectively, like a client like this, it is more deliverable-based pricing, is that right?
Yep.
And so they're pricing it based more on the production capacity,
yeah,
so then you,
the goals,
that's right, so you have to make sure you can offer value and then put the staffing and reach the productivity at that level.
So we're very flexible when it comes to our rates.
Yeah, fantastic. Well done. Thank you so much.
Yep. Well, I have another meeting, so nice talking to you.
Yeah, wonderful.
See you around.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Fantastic. And again, you know, an amazing journey for you. And do you work long shifts or?
I used to, now having a baby. And I mean, with all the COVID stuff and now having a 9-month-old baby and just being able to, you know, function as a woman and a wife, it's been really, really challenging. But now I'm working way lesser than before.
Congratulations. So you managed to grow your business to 900 staff and have a baby at the same time.
I know, right?
Well done. That's incredible.
Thank you.
And to give some sort of context, there's 900, maybe about 900 staff, but how many internal core staff do you have working for Telework to ensure that you can facilitate the 900? Do you have an idea?
That's around, I believe we're now 40 to 50 support staff, so that's and that includes IT, HR, admin, everyone in the back end.
Okay, great. And what I try and let everyone know is when they get staff from the Philippines, it's not just the individual. They're getting the full experience and support and the infrastructure and all of the knowledge of Telework and that executive team of 40 or 50 people. So it's really the package, isn't it?
That's true. So essentially when you get staff at Telework, then it's going to be managed by us end to end. We do the training, we do the sourcing. We ensure that they're happy with their work. And I mean, mental health is of top priority right now for most of our staff. So we do everything to ensure that they are always giving their best to our clients.
And so if we talk about nuts and bolts, then if people are interested, of course, you know, I'm hoping, because what I'd love is for people to really come over to the Philippines and really see this, really experience it, really meet the people, and, you know, they would just be sold. But that isn't so easy, especially with COVID. So I'm hoping these virtual tours give them that sort of sense. If people do want to explore outsourcing, I just encourage them to give it a go. In terms of the nuts and bolts, how how do you price this generally? Can you sort of give us a guide to telework pricing?
Sure. We're, like I said, we are pretty much flexible, but we start, ideally, we start at around $1,500 per month. That's inclusive of everything. But specifically for our outsourcing summit, we're giving out a best deal. Right now, we're offering it at $1,200 if you hire a staff, and then you get 30-day access to our knowledge base. So if, say, if you wanted to onboard a staff who is ready to give it a try or give it a go for your business, they are pretty much equipped. We also have a coaching call for a 4-week coaching call to ensure that it's your success. And we guarantee a 90-day guarantee that your business will bounce back from how it was been pre-COVID, because we feel the same. I mean, as business owners, we definitely want the best for all of you. So that's definitely what we have.
And what sort of roles would you typically, are there a range of roles that people could expect? Because obviously everyone has a different business, different needs. What sort of typical roles would that cover?
Yes, sure. So we do technical support, virtual assistant. We do voice, pretty much all voice work. So from receptionist to calls, essentially any calls, and then we do annotation, and then we also do development and content writing.
And so it's a pretty broad range of roles, and you know, it's my mission to get everyone exploring and trying offshore staffing. Just start with one person, maybe. You know, it doesn't have to be the big team, it doesn't have to be the big structure, but just get started with offshore staffing. You'll learn the environment, you'll learn how to deal with teams remotely, and then, you know, as you've seen with so many of your clients, they suddenly see it so attractive, so amazing, and they can expand from there. But it's just really getting people started, isn't it?
Yeah, that's exactly what we always tell them. The first step is the hardest to do, so just dip your foot and then give it a try. You'd want to be able to make sure that, of course, after all the research you've done, if you're looking to outsource your services, just give it a go. And from there, definitely Telework PH will guide you along the way.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Marge.
Thank you so much for visiting
great
us today.
and fantastic, yep. Fantastic place. Thank you. So we are going to see Marge back in the studio in a few hours from now. It's now almost 6 a.m. And we are seeing her back in the studio. So it'll be great to be joined by Marge. And I just want to encourage everyone to check out the offers. Again, Marge has mentioned her offer. See the offers down below. Send us also any messages, any questions you have for Marge. We're going to be back on the panel in Manila with Marge and the rest of the CEOs to answer your questions and really sort of try and, you know, break down outsourcing so it makes sense to you and your business. Okay, that was the tour of Telework PH with Marge showing us around. I hope you enjoyed the podcast version of that tour. As always, if you want any of the show notes, go to outsourceaccelerator.com/podcast. And if you want to reach out to us, just send us an email to ask@outsourceaccelerator.com. See you next time.